And so you're going to get out of here and you're going to head down the road. The only problem is I'm preaching. And I preach a little long, and so that's going to make you late. And you're going to be a little bit irritated when you leave today. And just a little bit angry, and so you're going to hop into your car. And again, you're one of these people that you can't stand to be late. You hate for people to be late. It bothers you to no end to be late. And so you get in your car. You don't have time to mess around, so you step on the gas. And I don't mean just step on the gas. I mean, you really put the pedal to the metal, and you push it down as far as it can go. And the next thing you know, you're going 70 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. Now, at first, you're a little bit concerned because you know you're breaking the law. But then your mind begins to think, and you're going, well, this is Union County. This is the back roads of Union County. Nobody's going to see me. It's okay because I'm in a hurry. And as I said, at first you're a little bit concerned, but you're flying down the roads in 70 miles an hour, a little irritated with the preacher, but this is fun. This is fun. I've never really gone 70 miles an hour on this road before, and this isn't too bad. And so you are just speeding down the road. You got to do your best to get there as close as you can as to being on time. And so you're flying. You look up, and there's a traffic light. And this traffic light's been there all your life, but today you really notice this traffic light because it turns red. And you're going, I mean, why in the world is it here? Why do we need a light out here? There's nobody here. There's nobody going in any direction. I'm the only one on the road. And so you slow down a little bit, and you look to your right, and then you look to your left, and the coast is clear, and so you just fly right through that light. You've run your first red light. I mean, you just go right through the light, but you decided in your mind, this is okay. And why is it okay? Because I'm the only one out here. Because I'm in a hurry. And so you continue speeding down the road, and you go a couple of miles, and you come across the next intersection. It's another red light. You just can't believe it. Out here in the middle of nowhere, all these traffic lights. And so as you're pulling up to the light, you're looking in every direction. The coast is clear once again. I mean, there's not a car anywhere. So you keep on going. You don't stop. I mean, you just keep driving right through it. You run that stoplight. You've run several stop signs. I mean, you're just going right through them. And it's okay in your mind. Why? Because there's no one out here, and I'm in a hurry. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm in a hurry. So, and just stop right here for a moment in this story. You know what you're doing, right? You're justifying what you know is wrong to do. You're justifying your wrong action so that you'll feel pretty good about doing what is wrong, right? I mean, you're just making excuses for what you know is wrong. But you've said this time it's okay. Again, there's no one out here. I'm in a hurry. I've got to go. And I'm going to run the stop signs, and I'm going to run the traffic lights. I'll slow down a little bit. I'll check both ways. I know the speed limit's 35, I know it's 45, but when I can, I'm doing 70 because that feels good. And I'm just going to fly down the road. But then, all of a sudden, you look in your rearview mirror, and what do you see but those flashing blue lights? And you're going, oh my goodness, how long have they been there? I wonder how long has he been following me? And you know how your mind is when you get caught doing something? Your mind's racing and you just can't seem to think straight. And in a split second, just one split second, you make one of the worst decisions you could ever make in your life. You've decided I'm not pulling over. You've lost your mind. And you're going to try to outrun this local law enforcement officer. And so once again, you put the pedal to the metal and you're flying down the road. But in your mind, over and over, you're going, it's okay because I'm in a hurry. Well, that officer realizes right away he's dealing with a nut, you know? And so he calls in for backup. And the next thing you know, I mean, there's flashing lights everywhere. They've called in the highway patrol. They called in SWAT. They've even called in the Navy SEALs because of you. It's bad. You're bad. And they throw down one of those nail strips, you know, and you run over it, and all four of your tires have blown out. Now there's a helicopter over top of you. I mean, it's just hovering over you. And everybody's yelling at you, pull over, pull over, pull over. And it's in that moment that you begin to think straight again and you realize, this is not okay. This is not a good thing. It's time to stop. You've come to your senses and already you're beginning to go, what in the world did I do? What was I thinking of? And repentance is starting to take place in your heart. And deep sorrow is starting just to fill your mind. And you're crying, I can't believe what just happened. What in the world is wrong with me? And I'm so very, very sorry. And so you pull over and you're sitting in the car and the law enforcement officer, he gets out of his car and he's walking up to your car and you can hear him. He's just yelling at you to get out of the car and to lay on the ground. And so you get out of your car and you lay on the ground and SWAT team comes up and they start searching your car because they know you're some kind of nut, right? I mean, they're searching your trunk and they're searching the inside of your car. And all they find is your driver's license, your registration, and an open box of Krispy Kreme donuts, right? And the officer looks at you, and he's just staring at you. And you're such a nervous wreck. And you begin to stutter and stammer, and you go, so sorry. I'm so sorry. I know that I broke every law in the book. I know everything I did today was as wrong as it could be. I thought it was okay. I just told myself in my mind that it was okay, that I was in a hurry. I'm sorry. I'm guilty. And however many tickets you give me, you handcuff me, haul me off to jail, I deserve it. I deserve to be rescued. I'm so sorry. And then you just stand there. And you wait for the officer to say something to you. And he's just looking at you. Seems like it takes forever. And finally he speaks. And he looks at you and he says, now listen, ma'am or sir. Listen. Don't you ever let this happen again. You could have gotten hurt. You could have hurt someone. No telling what could have happened. This was dangerous. Don't ever let this happen again. But you're free to go. You can go. It's just a warning. You go and you be safe. And you're going, wow. I get away with a warning. Crazy, huh? Now, the question is, how do you drive away? In the light of what's just happened, how do you drive away? You know, do you push the pedal to the metal again? You know, make a little noise, burn a little rubber, throw some gravel? No, 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 no. You've got both hands on the steering wheel. You look in your rearview mirror. You look on both your side mirrors. You do this over and over again, and you pull out slowly. Why? You pull out slowly and cautiously to live a life of limits for the rest of your life because you were given grace. Because you were given wonderful grace. You know that you were living carelessly and crazy, but in the light of this officer's grace, you've decided to alter your actions. And in the same way in my life, and in the same way in your life, as you were speeding through life, just going through life, living life, doing things your way, breaking every law in the book, God finally pulled you over one day and He said, "You're free. You're free." You remember that day and you were going, "I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry for all I've ever done. I'm so sorry. Forgive me." And you remember what He said to you? "My grace is sufficient for you." I mean, His grace really is astounding, astonishing, and amazing. His grace is greater than all of our sins. The book of Ephesians tells us that He is rich in mercy toward us because He loves us so much. It is miraculous and marvelous, this grace that God offers us. So, the question is, in light of God's grace, how should you be living today? In light of God's grace, how are you going to drive away from this church today? How are you going to leave today in light of God's grace? Is there going to be a change? Is God going to speak to you about something? Is there something that He's going to deal with? And because of that grace, you're going to go away from here different today. How should you live in the light of God's grace? Well, let me show you. God helps us with that. It's Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. If you haven't found your way there yet, you go through the Gospels, you'll pass Acts and Romans and the Corinthians, and then you'll get to 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and then there's Titus. That's the one, you know, where the pages stick together. And I mean, you could just about miss it. Find it. It's Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus is a book that was written by Paul. Of course, when Paul was in prison, it was written to Titus. And it's just a simple book of guidance and instruction. And Titus was a good friend of Paul's. Titus, he wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile and a Greek, and he traveled on many of the missionary journeys with Paul. And Paul would send Titus out to do some special missions into several difficult situations, into several different churches. And so here's Paul, and he's encouraging Titus, "I want you to go teach the people." And what we're going to read is part of what Paul was encouraging Titus to teach the people. So I want you to see two things real quickly this morning. Number one, God wants to save us. God wants to save us. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now this grace of God that brings salvation, what is that? What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about saving grace. And listen, this saving grace that he's talking about is something that rescues us from the judgment and the wrath of God. You see, the word salvation, it means to be released or rescued from captivity. You and I are being rescued from a very serious fate. And what is that serious fate? Well, that serious fate is death. And it's not just any kind of death. It is a spiritual, physical, and eternal death. It's the kind of death that Jesus warns us that we should worry about. You see, death at the hands of God, well, it can be a terrible, terrible thing. Hold your place right there in Titus. Flip back to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 real quickly. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Look at what Jesus tells us. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We need to understand this. Only God can touch our soul. Only God can reach this soul of ours. Listen, man can destroy your life. You can destroy your own life. You can take your own life if you wanted to. You can kill your own body. Somebody else can kill your body. But only God can destroy your soul. God has complete power, complete control over your soul. And listen, the Bible says that the soul that sins shall die. That's a guarantee. It's guaranteed that the soul that sins shall die. Jesus once said, "You will die in your sins, and where I go, you can never come." You see, there is this horrible place called hell. And it's a place of unceasing and unrelenting fire. It's a place where the consuming worms, where the maggots never die. It's a place where the weeping and wailing never comes to an end. The Bible talks about the horrors of hell, and now we know why people get so excited about grace. Because we've been rescued from those horrors. We've been rescued from what the Bible calls the second death, the eternal judgment in hell. And so Paul, he tells Titus, you go teach the people. You go tell the people, because of the grace of God, because of the grace of God, this is how you should live your life. This is the way you should be living. Because the grace of God, for the grace of God has appeared to all men, has appeared to all of us. And so the question once again is, how should you live your life? How should I live my life? How should we live our lives in light of this wonderful grace that God has given us? And even take it a step further. In light of this wonderful grace that God has given me, what kind of grace should I be giving out to other people? In light of God's grace, what should change about me? What should be different about me? Number one, God wants to save us. Number two, God wants to school us. You see, it's this great grace that eliminates the penalty of sin. But this great grace which brings us salvation, it's also a wonderful teacher. Look at verse 12 back in Titus chapter 2. Verse 12, Titus chapter 2, it says this, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. This great grace that brings us salvation, it is teaching us that you and I, and we need to hear this in this world that we live in today, this grace that brings us salvation is teaching you and I we can say no to ungodliness. We have the power to say no to ungodliness. That's what this wonderful grace of God is designed to do in our lives, to help us live right. It is teaching you and I how to live. Let me teach you a little bit of Greek today. You see right there in your Bible, and you may want to circle it, that word teaching us. It is the Greek word paiduo. It means to chastise, to correct, to discipline. The implication is that God is going to educate us, that God is going to school us, that God is going to teach us through chastisement. You see, God sometimes teaches us in our quiet times at home. You know, you go home and you open up the Bible and you're just reading His Word, and something jumps out, and you go, "Thank you, God." I mean, He just teaches you a wonderful truth. Or maybe like today in a Bible study like today or a sermon like today, God just speaks to you in a mighty way, and He is teaching you. But often in our lives, God has to teach us through paiduo, through discipline. Now, I hate to admit this. I hate this about me. I learn best that way. I learn best when I mess up and somebody goes, "That's all wrong. This is how you do it." I seem to learn best through chastisement. And I don't like to learn through chastisement. I don't enjoy that at all. But I learn very well through chastisement. I learn very well through discipline. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that this wonderful God of ours, His Spirit speaks to me and He goes, "Glenn, don't you do that again." I'm grateful that He'll speak to me and He'll tell me that. I'm grateful that God goes, "Glenn, don't you say that. Aren't you?" That's probably the one He speaks to most of us the most about. "Don't you say what you're thinking." Right? "Don't you dare say what you're thinking." You know, over in the book of James, he talks about our tongue, isn't it? That the tongue's the smallest part of... Let me see your tongue. Oh, sticking your tongue out at the preacher. That's so rude. He says our tongue, here it is, the smallest part of our body. And if you could somehow get this little small part, if you could somehow get it under control, the rest of it would fall into place. It's this one small thing that can do so much damage. Sometimes as Christians, we need to learn the art of silence. It would help us. It would do a lot. I mean, God's up in heaven looking down at us sometimes, and He's going, "Oh my goodness, what are they doing? Oh my goodness." We are so much like the old proverb. And what do I mean, the old proverb? I mean the Old Testament proverb, Proverbs chapter 26. I hope you've already found that. If you'll quickly turn back to Proverbs chapter 26. This is one of those verses. It's quite graphic, but very clear. It's easy to understand what it's saying. It has a great message to us. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. Look at what it says. "As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." Now, of course, what a gross thing that I can say from the pulpit today, that a dog, he just returns to his vomit. I mean, how horrible that this animal, it just vomits and then it just walks back over there, returns back over there and just licks up what it just vomited out. The picture is, sometimes that's how God sees us. Sometimes that's what God sees when He looks at us. There are those times in our life, that very thing that He has rescued us from, we go right back to it and lick it up again. We walk right back to that thing that our hearts and minds had rejected. Start doing it over and over and over again. I mean, the dog goes back and it licks up what its stomach rejected. We go back and we lick up what our hearts and what God has rejected. I understand it's a very natural, nasty and natural thing for a dog to go lick up its vomit. And I understand it's natural the way our flesh acts sometimes. But I do want you to understand, as Christians, you're not supposed to live in the natural. We are supposed to live in the supernatural. So because of God's grace, this is what he's teaching us in Titus this morning. Because of God's grace, I have the power in me, you have the power in you, not to go back and lick up that same sin over, over, and over, and over, and over again. You see why God sometimes is up in heaven just shaking his head. I mean, we've gone back to just involve ourselves in that thing that we rejected at one time. It's such a repulsive thing. So repulsive that he says it's like a dog licking up his vomit. And we just go back and do it again, again, and again. And what God is trying to teach us here in the book of Titus is that garbage that we're involved in sometimes, well, it tastes like garbage, smells like garbage, looks like garbage. It is garbage. And God's grace has come to rescue us from that rubbish. So don't go back. Don't go back. You don't have to go back. I don't know about you, but I don't want to pay the price for some stupid sin in my life that I just keep doing over and over and over again. I'm ready to yield to the Spirit of God when he speaks to me. Aren't you ready in your life to just yield to God? And when he says no, it means no, and you're good with no. Once again, in Titus it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." I'm ready for that. I want to be the kind of Christian man that says no to ungodly living. We need that in our Christian lives, right? We need men that are saying no to ungodly living. We need men and women that are saying no to worldly passion. You and I can, because of God's grace, live sensible, honest, and godly lives. If you'll just allow God's Spirit to speak to you, you'll be surprised at those things in your life that you're going, "I got to stay away from that. I'm not going to be involved in that. I've got to flee from that. I'm going to run from that. I'm not going to say that. I'm thinking this about her, but I'm not going to say it to her." You'll be surprised at how God will speak to you and how he will move your heart. He's probably already doing that now. He's probably already spoken to you about it today. And oh, when you get to the point where you're agreeing with God, "Oh, I don't want to do that anymore." Oh, what a wonderful life it will be. That grace that just begins to take over and mold you and make you into the kind of person that God would have you to be, and into the kind of person that will give you the most freedom you've ever had in all your life. It will be such an amazing life. So let me ask you this morning, how are you going to live your life in the light of God's grace? What is it? What is it that you might need to talk to God about? What is it that you might need to come to God and just go, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And here's always the great part. When we come to God and we say, "I'm sorry," his answer to that is, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is Here's what I want you to know today. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you've been fighting with, God's here for you. God is all about helping you, all about speaking to you. So would you do me a favor this morning and stand with me and close your eyes for just a moment. Bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. Here's what I know. Here's what I absolutely know for sure. However God is speaking to you, however God is working in your heart, if you'll respond to Him, if you'll speak to Him, if you'll spend some time praying to Him, you will leave today never to be the same again. If you'll just respond to God's voice. And so maybe today you need to come and just ask God, just help me deal with this sin in my life. Maybe you need to come and just ask God, help me learn to yield to Your Spirit. As You speak to me, God, help me learn to yield to what You're saying. Hey, maybe today, maybe all you want to do is just come and thank God for His amazing grace. It's been just so wonderful, and you can't get over it. Maybe you want to come thank Him for that. Hey, it could be that you're here today and you've never been saved. And it would be the greatest thing today if you gave your life to God, if you just allowed Him to pour His amazing grace out on you. If that's you today, if you'll come and speak with me, I'll help you come to know Jesus. That's what you would like to do. For all of us today, in light of God's grace, what should you do today? How should you respond? Or is someone going to play? Y'all come and play. As they play, you come. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for this marvelous, miraculous grace. You help us today, Lord, as You're speaking to our hearts, You help us respond to You because it's life-changing for us. Help us, Jesus, as You deal with us. In Your name I pray, amen. You come.